Hi, everyone. Larry Bailey here, Mortgage Workflow Partners. It is November 6th, 2023 already, and this is your weekly newsletter review. We're going to review the week of October 30th, 2023. This information is brought to you from MBS Highway, your trusted source for mortgage market intelligence, brought to you also by Mortgage Workflow Partners. Listen, gang, shiny things are awesome. Technology is awesome, but I'm telling you right now, every company we work with starts with understanding workflow. We spot so many ways to really get into what needs to be updated and reflected upon in current workflow. And then we automate the heck out of it or leverage all of the tools you're already paying for. Give us a shout over at 888-522-7181 or visit us over at mortgageworkflowpartners.com. Guarantee spending a 15-minute meeting with me asking you basic questions, we can get to the bottom of everything. So here's what happened for the week of October 30th. There was a mix of tricks and treats among last week's labor sector, home price and Fed rate headlines. Here's the highlighted stories. First story is lower job numbers closer to the real picture. The next story is private payrolls below expectations. Third story is the jolt, higher for job openings. Fourth story is continuing jobless claims reach a six-month high. The next story, fifth story, is the Fed done with rate hikes? And the last story is home prices hitting highs. And of course, we'll have a hack in there. I'm guessing it's going to be food, but let's find out together. Let's get to that first story. The lower job numbers closer to the real picture. If you're listening to this on podcast, thank you very much. You can get over to the Mortgage Doc community under the market information and check out the full video along with everything we share on screen here in case you're interested in following along on the screen. So the Bureau of Labor Statistics, also known as the BLS, reported that there were 150,000 jobs created in October versus the 180,000 that were forecasted, which is the lowest amount since June of 23. Revisions to the August and September also shaved off another 101,000 jobs in those months combined. This resulted in the unemployment rate rising from 3.8 to 3.9%. So the bottom line here is remember that there are two reports within the jobs report, and there's a fundamental difference between them. As a recall, the business survey is where the headline job number comes from, and it's based predominantly on modeling and estimations. In fact, one of the biggest reasons we saw job gains last month was the birth/death model, who knew, where the BLS estimates new business creation relative to closed businesses and how many jobs this created. Like, really? Again, I told you, this jobs report thing is I've said this in the past, like you really have to understand what's going on. So listen, in this case, in October, this modeling added 412,000 jobs, but it's hard to believe that many businesses were started last month in the current economic climate, right? Especially given the cost of capital to create those businesses. So the household survey, which is where the unemployment rate comes from, is considered more of a real time because it actually is derived by calling households to see if those households are employed. Go figure. This survey also has its own job creation component and it told a completely different story showing 348,000 job losses. So the average weekly hours worked also declined slightly, which is important because it's one of the ways businesses cut costs is to cut the number of hours worked. In fact, workers have lost half an hour on average since the beginning of the year. While this doesn't sound like much, remember, this is across 168 million people in the labor force, and it equates to 2 million job losses just on its own because of that half hour. So next story is private payrolls below expectations. You'll see the image on here from ADP employment report. So ADP's employment report showed that private payrolls were weaker than forecasted in October with just 113,000 jobs created, while pay growth reached its slowest pace in 2 years. Almost all of the job growth came from service provided industries, with goods producing companies only adding 6,000 jobs. So the bottom line here is Nella Richardson, chief economist for ADP, noted that, open quote, while the labor market has slowed, it's still enough to support strong consumer spending, close quote. She also explained that, open quote, big post-pandemic pay increases seem to be behind us, close quote. On that note, annual pay for job stayers increased 5.7%, and the job changers saw an average increase of 8.4%. These figures have cooled considerably from last year's highs of 8% for job stayers and 16% for job changers, which is significant because it suggests lower wage-pressured inflation. I will also say, going back to Neela Richardson's comment, this is my own personal interjection, but spending, I don't know. We've been seeing a lot of reports about how people are spending, but they're putting it on the credit cards. So I don't know. We'll have to see what this really means in upcoming reports, obviously. So here's the next story. The JOLT hire for job openings. JOLT, remember, JOLT stands for Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey. So that showed that job openings rose from 9.5 million in August to 9.55 million in September, beating expectations. However, the hiring rate stayed the same at 3.7%, which is the lowest since the shutdowns during the pandemic. The quit rate, that's at 2.3%, and that was left unchanged from the last report. And this low rate suggests there is a lack of employers trying to entice workers with other offers because they're not quitting. So what's the bottom line here? Despite the monthly increase, job openings are down by 1.3 million when compared to the same time last year. Plus, the reported total for September is likely overstated. The increase in working from home means job listings are being posted in multiple states more frequently. As a result, we've seen this, they're being overcounted in the JOLTS total, meaning the report may not be as strong as the headline suggests. Here's the next story. Continuing jobless claims reach a six-month high. So the initial jobless claims rose by 5,000 in the latest week, with 217,000 people filing for unemployment benefits for the very first time. The real story here is continuing claims, which increased by 35,000, showing that 1.82 million people are still receiving benefits after filing their initial claim. The last time continuing claims were this high was back in April of 23. So the bottom line here is while initial jobless claims remain relatively low, they have increased for the last 2 weeks, with the latest data reaching highs not seen since early September. Continuing claims have also risen for seven straight weeks. Overall, the data shows that employers are trying to hold on to workers, but it's becoming harder for people to find employment once they are let go. And for those people that I know and know of in the financial industry, that could not be more true. Once they're let go, it's extraordinarily hard en masse to find employment. Here's the next story. Is the Fed done with rate hikes? So after 11 rate hikes since March of last year, the Fed left their benchmark Fed funds rate unchanged again at a rate of 5.25 to 5.5 at their meeting last Wednesday, just like they did in September. So the Fed funds rate, remember, is the interest rate for overnight borrowing between banks, and it's not the same as mortgage rates. And while the Fed hikes the Fed funds rate, they are also trying to slow the economy, curb inflation when they do that. So the bottom line here is the Fed's decision to pause rate hikes for the second straight meeting was unanimous. However, Fed Chair Jerome Powell did leave the room open, did leave the door open for room for another rate hike at their next meeting, which is December 13th. The strength of the labor sector remains a key factor in their decision, with the Fed looking for clear signs that the labor market is softening as they consider further rate hikes. While the latest jobs report for October was weaker than forecasted, it remains to be seen if that's enough for the Fed to pause additional hikes. The Fed will see November's job data from ADP and the BLS, releasing December 6 and December 8, respectively, along with upcoming inflation reports. All of this will certainly play a role in their decisions. Here's the next story. So home prices are hitting highs. Here's a Case-Shiller home price index image on screen. You can see the graph showing continued increasing trend. So the Case-Shiller home price index, which is considered the, quote, gold standard, close quote, for appreciation, showed home prices nationwide rose 0.9% from July to August after a seasonal adjustment, marking the seventh consecutive month of gains. The Federal Housing Finance Agency, also known as FHFA, that house price index also saw home prices rise 0.6% in August, with their index reporting gains every month so far this year. Hey, note, the FHFA's report, remember that it measures home price appreciation on single family homes with conforming loan amounts. And I know the text says represents lower price homes. That sentence has got to go. So MBS Highway, if you're listening, maybe we change that language to say something like it represents average price homes. There's nothing low price about a $1 million home. The conforming loan limits have increased exceptionally high. If you want to see what the 2024 limits are, just go to Google. Just Google conforming loan limits for 2024, and you'll see it's not lower price homes, especially in high cost areas. So the bottom line here is home values have hit new all-time highs, according to Case-Shiller, the FHFA, CoreLogic, Black Knight, and Zillow, more than recovering from the downturn we saw in the second half of 2022. This year, prices are on pace to appreciate between 6 and 8%, depending on the index, based on the reported pace of appreciation through August. These indexes show that now remains a great opportunity for building wealth through home ownership and appreciation gains. Couldn't say it better myself. And yeah, you got to get in it. The problem right now is inventory. We've known that. We haven't seen a story about inventory recently, but I'm sure we will in the coming days. So here's the family hack of the week. I knew it was food. Told you it was going to be food. So fall is the perfect season for roasting root vegetables. This recipe is courtesy from the New York Times, and it won't disappoint. So preheat that oven to 425 degrees Fahrenheit. Peel 3 pounds of assorted root vegetables. Some ideas here are carrots, parsnips, turnips, potatoes. Cut them into 1 to 2 inch chunks. Place them in a baking pan and toss in 1/4 cup olive oil and sprinkle a good amount of salt and pepper to season those suckers up. Roast for 20 minutes, then turn, drizzling more oil if they look dry. Don't let them dry out because that stinks. Roast for another 20 minutes and then stir in some chopped rosemary, thyme, and parsley or any herb of your choice. Bake for an additional 20 to 30 minutes, so that's a total of about an hour, until they're crisp. Garnish with rosemary and thyme and enjoy. Here's what to look for this week, the week of November 6th. So the economic data calendar is quiet, but we will see more housing appreciation data when CoreLogic's home price index for September is released Tuesday. The latest jobs claims data will also be reported on Thursday. Investors will also be closely watching Wednesday's 10-year note and Thursday's 30-year bond auction for level of demand. If you've been keeping an eye on this number, this thing was down to 94 not too long ago. The fact that it's now par 0.63 is great, but we have lost 30 basis points since Friday's close or since Monday's open, depending on how you look at that. I think the traders will probably say since Monday's open. I think it's the appropriate way. Anyway, get with your team. I just saw mortgage interest rates back down in the sixes versus the eights we saw not too long ago. So check out anything. If you're looking for money, go looking now. Like now's, there's never a better time to get money than now, whenever now is. So my name's Larry Bailey. Thanks for paying attention to these weekly reviews that we do. And if there's anything else that we can help you with, let us know over at mortgageworkflowpartners.com. Everybody take care. See you now. Bye-bye.